This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to learn more.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. From the top, let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Nailed it. What a shot from Karl Anthony Towns. Towns drives the lane, and he throws it down.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Three-pointer that's right between the eyes. Shay.
SGA. Name me another guy who's got a hard G and a soft G in the same last name.
Earlier on the show, SiriusXM NBA radio host Frank Isola, radio host and comedian Ricky Smiley. Coming up, NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers insider Matt Maiocco. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I just gave my review of the latest Mission Impossible movie and then just endeavored on my own impossible mission, which is try and get a new cup of coffee from our Keurig machine while putting water in at the same time. Apparently,
I can't do it.
We're descaling now, whatever the hell that means.
Yep. Takes about 5 minutes for that.
Yeah. I wish you guys would just tell me that's not possible, and I would just say that I have no other choice and just keep doing it over and over again.
Rich, you got to trust me one more time.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and there's also an admission, there's a lot of like nods and looks at other people. I'll give you a look, you give me a look.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a riff that just, they nail it. It's just over and over and over again, and it's awesome. So. 844-204-RICH number. We're going to talk a lot of football in this hour because we like doing it. And Matt Maiocco is going to be joining us from NBC Sports Bay Area, telling us what's going on with the 49ers, which apparently a lot of people are interested in. That's why we do it. Ricky Smiley was here. That was a lot of fun chatting with him. And our number one, Frank Isola, gave us the beats on the Oklahoma City Thunder being up 3-1. The Knicks trying to even the series with the Pacers tonight in Indianapolis. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's go to Charlie in Orlando, Florida, who's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Charlie? How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's on your mind, sir?
I was hoping if I would be able to do the win-loss game for my Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, okay. So are you a Marylander? Living in Florida right now? Is that what's happening right now?
I'm actually not born, but raised in Florida. The first pro football game I ever watched was a Ravens-Steelers game, where the Ravens were massive underdogs, and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed came through like they always did. And so ever since then, they won the Super Bowl in 2012.
They had you at hello. They had you at hello. Okay.
That's right.
Let's set the stage for Charlie in Orlando. Here we go. First up, at the Buffalo Bills, first Sunday night game of the season. What do you got for me?
It's going to be a great game. It's going to come down to the end. I think we're going to lose that one.
Okay.
But we'll see him again in the playoffs and see how that goes.
Home for the Browns.
That's a W.
Then you've got the Lions coming in on a Monday night. Yeah, right.
It's going to be a tough one, too. Hate to see it, but I think we're going to start 1-2.
No, dude, and then you're at the Chiefs.
Now we'll get some revenge, and we'll get Patrick Mahomes back.
Look at you. Okay. 2-2, home for the Texans. What a start. Ravens' schedule's tough, man.
Yeah, tough schedule, but Lamar can handle it. That's another easy win, actually.
3-2, home for the Rams. Yeah.
That's a tough game, too. We're feeling good, though. We're getting in a stride. Derrick Henry's in its full form. That's another W.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't they, when the Rams last played there, that was a game where the Rams were just really excellent, and the game went to overtime, and the Ravens had a special teams victory for a touchdown.
100% did.
Crazy high score.
It was Tylan Wallace on that punt return, yeah.
That's going to be huge. 4-2 off the bye, home for the Bears.
Caleb Williams is going to have a great year. I think Brockman was spot on with the Overreaction Monday podcast about him being a top five MVP candidate. However, we're going to take that one too.
All right, so now you're 5-2 after a three-game homestand. Now here's three on the road in a row. 5-2 at the Dolphins on a Thursday night.
We'll see if two is playing in that game. I'm going to say that's a win.
Okay. 6-2 at the Vikings.
Rich, I love your Wolverines, and I love J.J. McCarthy, but I'm still not sure. So for right now, I feel confident that that's a dub, but we'll see what it comes, you know, later in the
Six
season.
Six wins in a row, 7-2 at the Browns.
We always find a way to drop one. We'll lose to the Browns.
All right, 7-3 home for the Jets.
I think Justin Fields is going to have a really good year, but I think that's a win for us, too.
8-3 home for the Bengals on Thanksgiving night.
I think the Bengals are due one in primetime. I'm hoping I'm wrong, but I think the Bengals will win that one.
All right, so you're now 8-4 home for the Steelers.
We're going to give ourselves a win there.
9-4 at the Bengals.
We'll split with the Bengals. They're not going to sweep us. That's a win.
Okay, 10-4 home for the Patriots.
I think we're going to win, but I actually agree with Brockman that they're gonna be a surprise playoff sleeper team, but I think we'll win that one.
11-4 at the Packers on a Saturday night.
I think that's a loss. I think that's a tough one. I think that's a loss.
All right, and 11-5 at the Steelers.
And then we'll close it out with a win to see if we can get maybe some better seeding. But, yeah.
Charlie in Orlando, 12-5. The only thing more alarming, Charlie, is there was a lot of agreeing with Brockman there without being asked.
Charlie, my man.
That really was.
Hey, checks in the mail.
That was a lot.
Charlie Brockman on the phone?
I don't get it.
Your Celtics beat my magic, but I got to respect where Brockman comes from with his hot takes.
Okay, there you go. Charlie in Orlando.
One love.
You just love the guy who called you a hot taker.
Yeah, but he agreed with me often, so I need the wins where I can get them.
Good to know. Hey, guys.
Hey,
we always come back to pop culture in terms of putting things in perspective.
Facts.
Mention all the time that scene in The Fugitive, a remote drop film for me, and I believe all of us.
Yes.
When the one-armed man comes home and he sees the police all over his spot is because Richard Kimball made a phone call and dropped the phone down. He said he just found a big piece, right? Well, a potential big piece to the NFL offseason has arrived. We led this show with Aaron Rodgers telling a group in Texas this week at a concert with a podcast interview as well. That he's not playing for the Saints.
No.
And dropped every hint that he is, in fact, going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If that does not happen, for some reason, if Rodgers decides to not play football or the Steelers decide to hedge a bet, there's really only one option remaining. I guess the option is to go into the season with Mason Rudolph and hope for the best. We've had him here. Mason's been here before, and he's been waiting for this opportunity. He'd love to show everybody. I've been the guy all along. Just give me 17 games. Give me 18 weeks. Give me the season. Give me the offseason. Give me the whole thing. I don't think the Steelers are going to plan to do that, and I don't know if any of the fans of the Steelers would like them to do that. If they don't do that, the option would be go get Kirk Cousins from the Atlanta Falcons. Jeremy Fowler said that on SportsCenter this very morning, that they're already kicking the tires on that.
Yeah, that would be plan B.
Plan B.
If Rodgers doesn't show in Pittsburgh this year.
Mike Del Tufo, I know him. He's looking for the Ken Bone drop from 19 million years ago. The red sweater is plan B. Ken Bone, everybody. That goes back to the 2016 election.
Tap dancing.
I mean, that is like a 9-year-old drop.
So the red sweater is plan B.
Found it. Well done, sir. That squirrel just found a nut over there. I guess that makes Kirk Cousins the red sweater in this analogy. Well, I mean, sure. That's an option. It's a potentially pricey one.
Yeah.
Because the Falcons would be like, hey, we got Kirk Cousins backing up Michael Penix. Like, why do we need to bounce him? We've already paid him most of the money of his contract, right? Like, let's just keep him here. just in case Penix isn't the guy somehow, or Penix needs some coaching up. Kirk's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's a good soldier. He'll do the right thing. He's a pro. So, hey, Pittsburgh, you sound pretty desperate having waited for Aaron Rodgers all this time, and now you want him? Well, guess what? We're going to take draft pick, you know, A, or plan B for them would be, we'll just, you just got to pay a lot of his salary. And I'm sure the Steelers at that point in time will just say, screw it, doesn't matter. You know, unless Kirk Cousins makes things uncomfortable for the Falcons. And today, for a non-mandatory, another way of saying voluntary, organized team activity, he wasn't there. He didn't show. He's like, I'm not coming.
Magic Johnson, ain't gonna be here.
Kirk Cousins not at a practice today. Okay. So, there's that. Is that a big piece? Because if he's going to start raising the temperature on his end of things, you know, what happens? I'll tell you what, though. The Steelers are just going to wait on Rodgers. That is it. Because Rodgers just costs money, and maybe not as much as you're seeing other quarterbacks get paid right now.
And no draft picks either.
So, there's that. What about Penix? Because that would raise, you know, some of the temperature as well if the kid's not ready. Well, one thing the coach isn't going to do is say, you know what, kid's not ready. We didn't cut the soundbite of Raheem Morris talking about Kirk Cousins because it's as simple as, yeah, he's not here. What is what he had to say about Penix?
I think I just like to watch him, how he's been searching for the knowledge, you know, the system, putting it all together. Being able to go out there and formulate how he's going to run his program, what he needs to do, how he's going to continue to get better. I think him like having a thought process of what it's going to look like for him in the next 3 weeks of OTA days and then the next 5 weeks after that when we take our break, you know, coming back to training camp. I think all doing it for the first time as a starter for him is still a big learning curve. But I definitely like his approach. I like his open mindset. I like his ability to go out there and really get the guys going every day. I like his ability to sit back and debrief on those things when you ask him those questions. I like his ability to really figure it out and how he wants to do it better with each individual part of his group, whether it be the team or whether it just be offense. He's a really conscientious young man, and that's just something I see him growing at every single day.
Indeed. Indeed. What a crazy-ass story the minute they drafted him. It's crazy. Well, here we are. Now here we sit.
It was the right move.
Who's third on the depth chart there? That I don't know off the top of my head.
Stand by.
You know. Who do they got there?
Easton Stick.
Okay. As you know, he was the one backing up Herbert for a while.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then, all due respect, somebody named Emory Jones.
So, I mean, will Kirk Cousins be standing there with an earbud and a clipboard the opening day game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of my under the radar week one games that people are not going to be talking about. But these are the two teams, as we all know, that battled for the NFC South last year. And that's a big first week one game. Penix at home, Buccaneers on the road. Let's see what happens. And if Cousins isn't standing next to him, where the hell does he go if it's not Pittsburgh? It's got to be somebody else.
Yeah,
lost a quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's a TBD, and we're talking about a camp injury, a preseason game.
That's
something
it.
Like that.
Somebody who gets desperate.
Yep.
And gives the Falcons all that they want.
Well, similar to when Sam Bradford got traded to Minnesota after Teddy Bridgewater went down. Same situation.
In case anybody's wondering, you know, Rodgers saying, "No chance, I play for the Saints," and that's what he shut it down. I will not play for the New Orleans Saints. And the reason why the Saints are being mentioned is because it looks like they could really use a veteran bridge quarterback if Tyler Shuck's not ready. Or Spencer Rattler beats out Shuck, right? And you're wondering if he's going to be the guy moving forward.
Yeah.
I can tell you, however flat no, it sounded like Rodgers. There wasn't even an inch, a millimeter of possible that he left open. It's that much smaller for the Falcons to make a deal with the Saints involving them. Hell no.
It would have to be particularly cold somewhere.
Very. very cold in a very warm place.
Yeah.
That's way deep, like
way deep.
To use deep. To use a Dr. Evil phrase, magma, hot magma.
Magma.
That ain't
cool.
happening.
It'd be cool.
But Cousins doing the first order of business, which is not showing for something voluntary. Derek in Missouri, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Derek? How you been, brother?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing good, sir. I just got back from Indy yesterday and attended from my 20th Indy 500. So just getting a little resting, but got a little hot take for you as far as what my take is on a coach push play. And I will say this. I'm glad it's staying just because, simply put, Rich, that, you know, this game is all about physicality and mental strength. And
yes.
It doesn't matter any kind of snap that you take in this game, whether it doesn't matter what position you play, you're bound of getting hurt no matter what. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah,
you're bound on getting hurt on a play where it's a no-contact play like Vinny Testaverde did years ago. And
I remember that.
Think about Mahomes years ago and a game against Denver. I was at this game where he, you know, on a QB sneak.
Yeah. His kneecap wound up on the side
and
of his leg. Yes, sir.
So I'm okay with it. It's not a big deal. I mean, it is to a lot of people, sure, but I don't know.
No, I got you, man. Hey, listen, Derek. This thing has now been put to bed for at least a year. And we will see what plays out as we noticed. And thanks for the call, Derek. As we noticed last week, the only team on the Eagles schedule that voted to keep the play, not ban it, are the Detroit Lions. Everybody else on this schedule said get rid of it. So the Eagles, every single time they line up in this formation, which we prefer to call the brotherly shove. Everyone else that does it is the tush push. It'll be done with the intent of, okay, you wanted it banned. Well, here it comes. And good luck trying to stop it. And this is the conversation we're going to have. And unless somebody gets significantly hurt, then the topic of banning it will be the same as it is right now. Under the sense of player safety and pace of play, someone will try to ban it. And everyone in the NFL fan base will think the reason why they're doing it is because they couldn't stop it. Unless somebody gets seriously hurt, which obviously I don't want to have happen. But that's it. And we put it to bed. We've talked about it. I've said it before. It is, if it's done under the guise of player safety, but you really are using it as a fig leaf because you can't stop it. It is the most anti-NFL sentiment I've seen in the 20 plus years that I've covered the sport for NFL Network. It should be all about, we're smarter than you. We're better than you. We drafted better than you. We can coach it better than you. We have better heart, better soul, better players. We'll stop it. And if we can't, guess what? We'll score ourselves and we'll beat you the other way. That's the way it goes in the NFL. Anybody else is just like saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try and ban this thing. That's my two cents on the subject. We'll take a break. Matt Maiocco is zooming in right now. I demand to know why Brock Purdy got paid what he's getting paid. I know that sounds particularly aggressive.
Yeah.
And Matt's not an aggressive guy. He's a nice guy. We're going to change my attitude when we come back. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game-changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. So, we haven't done this in a while. Hang on a minute. I have some SAG-AFTRA checks here, everybody.
Yeah,
get ready. I just decided to do this. We're all scrambling.
Let's do it.
Hold on, let me write down. I got one envelope. I got two envelopes. Hold on a minute. I got two envelopes.
Okay.
Two.
I have more at home. I got to bring them in.
Must be nice.
You tell. Give me two.
All right. I believe we have the drop. Ready? Hit it.
Pay that man his money.
I got two SAG-AFTRA checks. Mike, you choose. Envelope one or two? One or two? One or two? One or two?
Two.
Give me two. All righty. I'm opening it up. It's been a while since we've done this. Now, you guys complain about the order, right? Always?
Well, TJ always gets the advantage going last.
All right. It's three episodes of The Odd Couple. May Matthew Perry rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Matt.
Yep. Three episodes of its syndication market. Dollars.
Remember what the
Eyes in Trouble,
pays.
Make Room for Danny, and Secret Agent Man. Three episodes of The Odd Couple. You go first, Mike Del Tufo. Three episodes.
$15.
$15, says Mike Del Tufo. Chris Brockman. Chris Brockman.
$3.13.
$3.13. TJ.
I'm going to go $4.20.
Okay. The actual retail check is $1.96.
Oh. Yeah, we were right going low.
$1.96.
Triple.
Triple over.
Show me in.
Triple over.
You didn't give Matt a chance to guess.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should we do that one more time?
Yeah, let's go one more.
I think we're not going to have any time here. Let's see. Yeah, we don't have time. We don't have time. Next time from Matt Mayoko. We'll do it next time. That was a terrible addition to Residual Rich. You guys were awful. This man knows everything to know about the San Francisco 49ers, which means we have to have him on now that Brock Purdy has finally landed. From NBC Sports Bay Area, Matt Mayoko. Good to see you, Matt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And I would have guessed $265 million for you, Rich.
Oh, is that right?
I would have been a little bit off.
I'm the Brock Purdy of celebrity guesting on the old show, The Odd Couple for CBS. Very good. Yeah, we just played Residual Rich. So, Matt, how did the Niners and Brock Purdy land on the number they finally landed on for him?
I think it was the path of least resistance. I think that when you look at how their season was impacted last year by a holdout and a hold in and contract issues. I mean, I kind of saw the Kittle contract, the Purdy contract, and the Warner contract were all kind of intertwined where those three guys are, you know, the three leaders of the team. And I think any one of those three could have just tried to grind the 49ers for everything. But you know, I think where it landed was roughly where I think everybody thought it would be. You know, I think the $55 million per year mark was kind of, you know, right around that area. And so CEO Jed York called Brock Purdy a top 10 quarterback, and now he's getting paid like a top 10 quarterback. I think seventh on the list now as far as average per year. So after getting paid less than $1 million a year for his first three seasons in the league, I think this was a very fair contract, and it, you know, doesn't kill the 49ers on the salary cap, and it certainly gives Brock Purdy generational wealth. So for a guy that the 49ers have kind of planted their flag and said that they expect him to be the starter for as long as John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are with the 49ers, it seemed like a good number and a fair number for both sides.
Well, also, Matt, there's the unspoken thing, too, which is, you know, he kind of saved everyone's bacon. Normally, when you trade as much capital as you do to trade up to take a quarterback who doesn't pan out, as they did for Trey Lance, and the fact that Purdy does what he does, it kind of saved the day in many different ways. You know what I mean? And that, so he deserves his money even for that on top of it,
no,
Matt.
No question. Yeah. I mean, it's funny, Rich. I mean, when that trade was made to go up to number three overall in 2021, and the selection was Trey Lance, you know, kind of the thought was, boy, if, you know, if Trey Lance doesn't work out, you know, if he becomes, you know, a guy who doesn't contribute to this team, then Lynch and Shanahan might be out of a job. And what happened was that, you know, he never really, you know, solidified his spot as a starter. In, what was it, 22, he got injured. And Brock Purdy stepped in and played well. And now nobody's talking about Trey Lance and the swing and a miss as far as the 49ers there. So you're absolutely right. The number three overall pick did not work out for the 49ers, but the number 262 that did. And he's the guy now with the $53 million a year contract.
That said, you know, Jed York does love Shanahan and Lynch. Yeah. So we wouldn't know exactly how hot a seat would have gotten. We're just assuming that's just the way things go in the NFL, is when you do that, you take the risk and you miss on a quarterback, that usually does lead to a house cleaning. All that said, what can you say, certainly since Jed York trusts these guys, what can you say to those who think Purdy doesn't deserve this contract and that the Niners should have let him play it out and should have let him maybe go in a different direction? What do you say to those about what you know that Shanahan and Lynch think of Purdy, Matt?
I mean, I think the people who are saying that, I don't know if they watch the 49ers. You know, I don't know if they watch much professional football, because I mean, this is a guy that put up huge numbers in 2023, his first full year as a starter. Last year, you know, they had all the injuries and, you know, basically playing with a lot of guys he didn't even practice with during the offseason. I just think that Brock Purdy is one of those guys that the closer you are to him, the more impressive he looks. To see how his teammates talk about him, the coaching staff, how they talk about him. You know, does he have the biggest arm in the world? Of course not. But, you know, where his strengths lie are in other areas, like, you know, being able to read a defense on the fly and, you know, knowing the offense and being accurate and decisive, you know, his decision making, his processing, all of those things. He's a really good player, and there's no question about it. And so when you look at the quarterback market and the salary cap, how it's rising, I just don't think that the 49ers or any team really wants to do anything that kind of undermines the leadership qualities of a quarterback. So if they try to kind of pull him around and have him twisting in the wind as far as the contract, that sends a message not only to him, but the entire locker room. That's something I think the 49ers really wanted to avoid. You know, after last season, you know, things were, the vibes were just completely off from the offseason all the way through the season. Brock Purdy played well, not as well as he did in 2023, but he still produced at a decent level, you know, seventh in the league in QBR. So now I just don't think that inside the building and the people who are making the decisions and the people who are around the 49ers, I don't think there is ever any question that he is the guy for the future. It's hard to find starting quarterbacks that you want in the NFL. A lot of teams are trying to find them. Teams are trying to find them every year, and the 49ers found their guy in Brock Purdy.
Matt Maiocco here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the scoop on Ayuk? Is Brandon Ayuk expected to be a week one guy looking like the Ayuk before, or is he behind schedule? What schedule is he on right now, Matt?
They haven't really disclosed what the timetable is. He had the ACL, and there's some other stuff in there, meniscus and MCL as well. So that kind of pushes back the recovery. My guess is that, you know, when the 49ers report to training camp, he'll be put on the PUP list. I would think that there's also a strong possibility he would start the season on PUP and miss at least the first four games. But that's, you know, I don't think they want to rush it with him and force him back out there. Then the question is, how long will it take him to get up to speed and get back to that form that he showed in 2023? So I would think that right now, when the season starts, the 49ers are thinking that they won't have Brandon Ayuk on the field early on. But we'll see. A lot of it will have to do with just what happens now. I know he's at the facility working out every day, so he's on a good track from that standpoint, but I would think that he's going to miss some time at the beginning of the year.
Interesting. Okay. And defensively, just the fact that Saleh's back as the DC, that's got to raise some boats and some hopes, right, in Santa Clara? Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, there are a lot of guys that they lost on the defensive side of the ball at the start of free agency. And, you know, Robert Saleh was the guy they brought in, paid him a good chunk of change. And then it became kind of the Robert Saleh draft. The first five guys that they took were all defensive players. So there's going to be some new faces on that defense at pretty much every level, a remade defensive line with basically Nick Bosa being the only holder. Over. So Robert Saleh and that staff will have a challenge as far as getting those young guys up to speed and seeing if that defense can return to what it was prior to last season.
So I guess what we're just assuming, I don't know, assuming is the wrong word. Let me start again. So the idea, I imagine, there for the Niners, Matt, is McCaffrey's not going to have any issues in training camp, right? He's going to come in healthy. Ayuk's going to return healthy at some point, right? Ricky Pearsall, I'm not being glib about it, won't get shot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and he won't have any setbacks there. Saleh will coach up the defense. A lot of bold-faced, you know, names are gone. Trent Williams will be there. There aren't any holdouts. Guys are signed. It's going to be more peaceful and, for the lack of a better way, normal. And that alone will have the Niners in a better position this year than last. Is that the general sense there, Matt?
It is. I mean, and a lot of those things you said, you know, kind of takes a leap of faith to think that, you know, those older guys can remain on the field and get healthy and stay healthy. But if you look at the nucleus of the team, man, they still have star power. You know, they still have star power at basically every position group. So that's the thought process. I know that the questions early on in the offseason were, you know, is this a rebuild? Are they tearing it down? What are they doing? They haven't re-signed any of their own guys. They haven't gotten out in free agency and made any big strikes there. But when you look at it, you know, they still have Purdy. They still have McCaffrey, Kittle, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk at some point, you know, Bosa, Warner, and, you know, some pretty good players on the defensive backfield too, probably led by D'Amador Lenore. So there is still talent on the team, but when you look at it, it's, you know, they had the oldest team in the NFL last year. They'll be a little bit younger this year with all those rookies coming in, but a lot of pieces are going to have to align for this team to get back up there and be a challenger in the NFC.
So I guess last one for you here is, what other pieces of business are there for the Niners? Have they checked all the boxes, Matt? that?
Pretty much. Okay. If you look ahead a year, Juwan Jennings is scheduled for unrestricted free agency after this upcoming season. Mm-hmm. So that's somebody that they could look to keep an eye on and keep him around and maybe give him an extension. But, you know, with that wide receiver market and the year he had last year, that might be difficult to do. But I'd say right now, you know, where they are in the salary cap, where they are with their roster, maybe a few pieces here and there. But I don't see that they have a whole lot to do between now and when the season begins.
How about that? So they just can just roll the footballs out and start practicing, and, you know, guys will be there. There's no conversations about when you're going to sign this guy. I mean, yeah. It's completely different from last year, and hopefully everybody remains healthy. I guess last one for you. What is your sense of why there is Purdy doubt? You know, and I'd love, you're right there. I mean, you must hear the conversations nonstop, but what's your two cents on that, Matt?
You know what? It's a great question. And I think it goes back to where he was drafted. I think a lot of people look at the draft as just being a very black and white thing as far as, you know, the best players are chosen first, you know, and the worst players are the last guys. So I think there's just a lot of skepticism to see that a quarterback of all positions can be selected with the final pick in the draft at number 262 and then become a legitimate player in the league. So I think it just really goes back to the pre-draft process and where he was selected, and if 32 teams passed on him at least, you know, six times, yeah, including the 49ers. You know, the 49ers get a lot of credit for this great draft pick. Well, if they thought he was that good, they wouldn't have waited until 262. So I just think it's, you know, he's this unassuming, you know, he looks, you know, he throws his backpack on and comes into the facility. It looks like he's, you know, going to geometry class or something. So I think all those things, just the way he looks, he's unassuming, where he was drafted. He looks just like a regular dude. And I think people want to see a quarterback who stands, you know, 6'5", and, you know, they want to see, I guess, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't look like that. He just produces.
Yeah, I guess he's going to finance class now, right, Matt?
Is
there any conversation behind the scenes about his demeanor changing, more ownership? Now that he's been paid, he's now a paid guy, and this is clearly his team, and the team has clearly put their thumb on the scale by putting all that cash on the scale. Any conversation behind the scenes of him already having a different sense about himself, Matt?
100%. Yes. From what I understand, his voice is being heard a lot more in that facility. You know, through the negotiating part of this, he was still, you know, he came to the offseason program. He was there day one. And I think he has all indications are inside the locker room and setting the tone with the young guys that he is speaking up more and he's being more of a leader. And that's kind of the license the 49ers gave him with that contract, is that now it's your team. No questions. You know, there's Mac Jones isn't going to be taking your job like some people, I think, opined when they first signed him. It's his team. And now he can really kind of put his stamp on this team and become a leader. Even more than he had been.
I got to tell you, when I saw Mac Jones sign there, Matt, I just thought that this is just, he wants to be in the Sam Darnold position. Like, rehabilitate me, show me what you know, let me now go somewhere else and go kill it. You know, it's sort of like, for the lack of a better phrase, like the Ohio State quarterback room. You know what I mean? Like, the person who's number two winds up going somewhere else, you know, whether it's Burrow or Quinn Ewers or, you know, Kyle McCord. You go to a spot that teaches how to play quarterback, and it looks like the Niners are that version in the NFL right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it is, you know, it is a place to be. And there are a lot of backup quarterbacks kind of sprinkled around the NFL who have been in that building. And as you mentioned, a significant starter as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you're going to see Darnold twice a year now in the NFC West. Fun stuff, Matt. Thanks for the time. I mean, it's all quiet for you. What are you going to talk about over the next few weeks, man?
Oh, I don't know. Well, OTAs this week.
All right.
OTAs the next. So first time to see them on the field a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's better than keeping track of, you know, who's in camp and is that guy hold out? Is he a hold in? You know, what's going on? So it's back to football.
That's
where the 49ers want it.
And I'm sure that it'll benefit them. And Saleh being back, too. I love that guy. Take care, Matt. you. Be well.
All right, Rich. Thanks so much.
You got it. That's Matt Maiocco, everybody, from the NBC Sports Bay Area 49ers beat. Always interesting to pick his brain on a team that's always fascinating. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're going to get a sports update. And when we come back, we're going to find the guy who's been working out with Luka. His name is O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Hey,
I believe he's on the couch over there to my left.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I
there
know.
He is.
I can't see.
There he is. Okay, the man who told Luka lay off the carbs is going to be joining us next. Before he does no contest wrestling with T.J. Jefferson.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real, and so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979. This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want is a great feeling. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can choose to bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
During the filming of The Outsiders, you turned 18 and the other boys in the cast pranked you by trashing your hotel room by saran wrapping the toilet and spraying fire extinguishers into the room. Is that a true story?
Absolutely true. It was like, that was my college experience. I was turning 18. It would have been the equivalent of going away from home for the first time. And that's my fraternity. Those guys are my frat brothers.
What a shot
into
that
the,
is.
Into this
seven
day.
Across, man. Jeez, yeah. Look at that.
It's a good group.
Look how tough Tom Cruise is trying to look in that photo.
Dude, Tom Cruise was such a baller. He was probably one of my closest friends, and he was so great. And I always looked up to him, and he always had these cool things that he would come up with. And I remember he was the first guy that ever came up with this conceit of tightening the titles of the movies he was in to make them sound badass.
Like
he did this, you know, the football movie, All the Right Moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, when I was making Moves, and I was like, he's
That's
a baller. Badass.
That's baller.
It's so baller. But then, you know, it was a problem when he'd be like, yeah, when I was making Cocktail, it was kind of a, you know, and okay. I liked.
No, the other one's no good either.
It was long.
Yeah, when I was in Tail.
When I was in Tail, you can't do it either way.
Can't do it either way. Yeah. It's no good.
When I was making...
So you'd go like Wing? Is that what you do when you did TV?
No, when I was doing West.
When you were in West.
You know, when Marty Sheen and I were doing West.
You know, on the set of Boy, me and
yeah.
Chris Farley.
No, yeah, when I set of Boy, in Oxford Blues sets up just Blues.
See, it's important to choose. If you choose the wrong one, it's not as good.
There's always one that's cooler. Like, which is, like when I was doing Recreation,
yeah,
doesn't it? But if I'm doing Parks,
right,
instead of Parks,
you did Parks.
Yeah, man, Amy Poehler and I in Parks, we laughed all the time. On Parks.
On the set of Wayne, I was just, you know.
And by the way, you want to talk about Tom Cruise, too. This was the fact that blew our minds when the last Mission Impossible came out, and he was running all over
amazing.
London.
He's,
right?
Those are the best movies ever.
On like a broken ankle that had just
amazing.
Healed or whatever. Is that he is right now the age in these movies doing this that Wilford Brimley was during Cocoon. That's a fact.
That is.
That's boom, like mind blowing.
It's mind blowing. It's.
And I don't know what it is. What makes it mind blowing is that Tom Cruise is doing that at that age, or Wilford Brimley was really that young in Cocoon.
I did a movie with Wilford Brimley. He was the first great character actor I ever worked with. It was a movie called Hotel New Hampshire. What are we doing on that one?
So when you did
Hampshire? When I was doing Hampshire, Lane.
It's better than Hotel. No. When you did Hotel.
How about just when I was doing New?
When you did New, right?
When I was doing New. When I was working on New with Brimley,
Every time Rob Lowe is here, it's better than the previous time. All of his appearances, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Again, the man who told Luca to lose the weight is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Moshe Jackson.
Thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Rich Eisen.
Oh, look at you taking, you had the glasses on, then you took them off.
It's for dramatic effect. I'm an actor.
That's reverse Caruso. You know, Caruso, he would put them on to deliver his line. That
NBA
was the next
champion,
level thing.
Alex Caruso.
No.
I know Caruso, we're talking about the show.
Is your dad doing the Kool-Aid movie?
You know, I have to like find out what my dad does. It's not like a conversation.
No, you haven't seen the studio?
No, I haven't. But I'm well aware. Everybody keeps sending me the clips, and he has a valid point.
Fantastic, man. O'Shea Jackson Jr. stopped by, everybody.
Absolutely. I miss you guys.
Did you hear Shams said that LeBron's opting into his $52.5 million deal?
I mean, it was expected, but not this way, and it makes me nervous that next year is the last year.
Why does that make you nervous?
Because usually he opts out and then does the 1-1.
Okay.
But this time he just opted in. So, you know, we'll see what he does. We'll see how it goes. But no matter what, I'm going to be spreading purple and gold propaganda all over the city.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, there's less purple and gold of Luca. Did you see this?
Yeah. You think I didn't see it? Look at him. Good Lord. Put him on the cover of whatever.
Whatever.
Look at that guy, man. You wear a white tee, just white tee. You feeling good. Yeah, right. You're feeling good about life.
You are.
Yeah.
White tee?
Yeah, right. You're dangerous. What a guy, man. I can't wait to just talk nonsense on this show when he comes back.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Talk your nonsense already.
I mean, of course it needs to be shown, but don't. They've upset Luca. They've made Luca upset. All right. They're making jokes. They're making memes.
Them
folk. You know who I'm talking about, man. And he's coming back for a revenge season, and I can't wait to see it. Especially that the NBA rigged the lottery, and that
I'm the only one that thinks that.
Stop it, bro.
It rigged the trade first for you. What do you mean?
Yeah. Cap. You should be quiet.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's completely fair trade.
No. let's assume the hat you're wearing is in fact made of tinfoil.
Okay.
And you saying that the lottery was fixed for Dallas.
It's fixed. It's been fixed since Patrick Ewing.
Means, okay, forget about the fact that that means 29 other franchises in the NBA are cool with it, and that the people who are like Ernst & Young and all those folks are cool with it, and the commissioner created some sort of paper trail somewhere that can be found and blow up in everyone's face. Let's just assume all of that is in fact the case. It was born, this conspiracy, out of the fact that you got Luka in the greatest pocket listing in the history of NBA trades. So that's the way it started, right? Or they just needed to rectify it after that atrocity took place.
It's one of those rectifying situations. So you're just telling me when LeBron James is going into the draft, Cleveland just happens to get first pick.
LeBron even said that on Pat's show.
Derrick Rose just happened to get, when Timberwolves lose Kevin Love to Cleveland in that Andrew Wiggins trade, they just happen to get Karl Anthony Towns number one. Or it's just, you see this so many times, and then here you go, lowly Dallas, 1.8% chance to get number one pick, and you hit the lottery. How about that? Do you believe in miracles?
What is the upside to rigging it for Dallas?
I couldn't tell you what. That's why you go further down the rabbit hole.
When you start boiling it down, when you start putting the magnifying glass on the ant, it burns.
Why didn't Why didn't Zion end up with the Knicks? Why didn't Zion end up with the Knicks?
Oh, because Anthony Davis, their best player, went to the Lakers, so you get number one pick too. You lost your star.
But there's no upside to rigging it for terrible teams.
Well, in Adam Silver's world, he wants everything to be balanced, man. That's why there's been seven different teams. Seven different championships.
You are spinning.
Come on, dog.
You can't stop spinning.
I am the whole reason why the league gets rigged. I'm the logo. I can tell when it's being rigged. I'm a Los Angeles Laker. Oh, and I have a bone to pick with you as well.
And another thing.
So from what I hear, because I keep my ear to the ground.
Yeah.
You're out here just giving away rap concert tickets.
What are you talking
about? And you don't give it to the black guy you see every day. You give out Kendrick Lamar. Lamar tickets to not T.J. Jefferson. I get it if it was Mumford and Sons. I get it if it was Bruce Springsteen. Wow. But this was Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
They go through a lot, all right? He just wanted to go to a concert, do some rap.
Would you have wanted to drive the kids around, T.J.? Drop them off?
Hey, you know I love the kids.
What, in your two-seat convertible? How are you going to drive people around?
It's a lot of space in that Lexus, bro.
Yeah. You get like you get two in the back. Show. Show.
Hostile work environment.
Wow.
Hostile work environment.
Thank you, tag team
partner. I got you, bro. I implore you, Mr. Jackson, to take it up with HR.
Yeah, that's the problem. There's a lot of problems around here. I'm realizing the flow chart's a little off now.
You can't spell rich without HR.
Well, interesting. Wow. I didn't even think of that either.
Or Christopher.
What about the other thing that you said?
Oh, was, yeah. And you got
what happened now?
Other guys boy, taking shots on random shows about poor Rich Eisen.
What do you mean?
Bro, people seem to be mad that you're successful, man, that you're out here, the whole ESPN article. You seem to ruffle some feathers.
What are you referring to?
I don't even know the guy's name, but he was going hard on you, and I don't appreciate that. I'm team RES, bro. Relax. Listen, man. Chill out. If you don't like that Rich has success, run the 40 every now and then.
Yes,
I don't
exactly.
know. Chill out. It's Rich Eisen. Oh, National treasure.
Now I think I know. I got a lot of people saying that. To, whatever.
I never hate on a man being successful. It's not a good look.
I told you, Rich, he texted me when we were heading to Family Feud. He was like, yo, I'm about to go off. And I was like, yeah.
Not my Rich Eisen. Thank you.
Only you can tear me down.
That's right.
Hostile work environment can tear me down. Only you can be the one to tear me down.
Fifth inning.
Whatever, man. Yeah. I don't.
Fifth inning.
I still put my. Oh, by the way, I'm going to Dodgers Yankees this coming weekend.
How'd that turn out for you last time?
Not great, but I'm going to try and exercise those ghosts. I'm going back.
Do it. We're TJ a better team. Just swept us, I think.
We're a better team.
Two out of three.
You know.
I know.
That one.
Soto had nothing to do with it either.
Soto, this guy.
Yeah, I know.
Pay him all. Pay it all to him.
Who's on No Contest Wrestling that you're recording today?
Man, it was a extremely filled weekend of wrestling. There's literally five shows we have to talk about. So it's just going to be me and my tag team partner rambling, bro.
Chopping it up.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be available later on today.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you coming on a Tuesday because I know, you know, those days are not easy for you. So
yeah, but that's why you got to call up grandma and have her pick up the baby.
Okay.
On a Tuesday.
Okay. So thanks for coming in with your tinfoil hat.
Absolutely. It's a rig.
And caping for me. I appreciate all that.
I got you.
Thank you, man. We'll be back to wrap up this show on the Roku channel in just a second.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.